Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Who is the greatest Avenger? That's a tough one, isn't it? Some of you may not know how to answer because you don't even know who the Avengers are. But if you are a fan of the movie series based upon the comic book characters, you probably have some opinion. I simply said, "The greatest Avenger," one morning to my daughters, and they each immediately chimed in with a name and a reason for that name. Davina said, "Tony Stark, Iron Man, because he sacrificed his life to save the world." Micah said, "Captain America, because of his moral character and heart." And Trini said, "Thor, because he's the strongest." I think a latecomer to the series, Captain Marvel, might actually be stronger than Thor, but that's a different conversation. But my girls all had a different opinion of who the greatest Avenger is, because they each had a different criterion for defining greatness. But I would like to throw another name into the discussion. He didn't wear a cape, or carry a shield, or wield a hammer. He didn't appear in the original comic books, and didn't manage to make it into the current movie series either. He didn't even have a cool costume. But he was more sacrificial than Iron Man. He was more virtuous than Captain America. And he was stronger than both Thor and Captain Marvel combined. I am, of course, speaking of God. In our epistle reading this morning from Romans 12, Paul wrote these words: "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. And indeed, he will avenge all evil on the last day, as all the nations of the earth gather before him, and he separates the cursed from the blessed, those who have done evil from those who have done good. And he will cast the cursed into the eternal fire of punishment, that which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." And so you see, the greatest Avenger is God. He is the one who will exact satisfaction and punishment upon those who do evil. He is the one who has overcome evil through the death and the resurrection of his son Jesus. And he is the protector of those who do good and who serve him. And thus, we don't need to worry about getting vengeance on those who are evil, those who do us harm. We don't need to concern ourselves with seeking retribution on the wrongdoers. We certainly don't need to spend our time making sure that every evildoer gets what's coming to him. You see, all that stuff, it's none of our concern. All that stuff belongs in the hands of the greatest Avenger. The only one who can rightly and justly and effectively judge, and who can take vengeance, and who can rightly cast the first stone, is God himself. All of which means that we have time and energy to focus on something other than vengeance. And that something other is love. Paul says in our text today from Romans 12 that we ought to, number one, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Number two, that we ought to share with God's people who are in need. Number three, that we ought to practice hospitality. Number four, that we should bless those who persecute us. Number five, that we are to live in harmony with each other. Number six, that we ought not to be proud or conceited, but be willing to associate even with people of the lowliest of positions. Number seven, that we ought to do good things to all people. And number eight, Paul says that as far as it is up to us, that we ought to live at peace with everyone. Instead of seeking vengeance on others, these are the things with which God wants us to occupy our time and our energy, our thoughts, and our resources. We are not now, nor are we ever, to be overcome by the evil of this world or to be a part of it in any way, shape, or form. But you see, we, as God's redeemed, God's forgiven, God's transformed children, are always to be about overcoming evil with good. That's what our Lord, our Savior, our Master, Jesus did. And since the Scriptures tell us that no servant is above his master, that's what we're to be about also. Jesus' life on this earth was not a life of wrath and retribution. It was a life of love and service and mercy. You think about it, retribution and revenge were never, ever part of Jesus' response to anything that was done to him, regardless of the injustice or unfairness or cruelty of it all. Jesus simply continued to reflect God's heart of mercy, his heart of love, all the way to a cross, even while being spit upon and mocked and tortured, even to the point of forgiving those who were killing him. And it was because of his willingness never to repay evil for evil, but always to overcome evil with good, that he could then bear and pay for and overcome our sin through his sacrificial death and his powerful resurrection. And thus it's through him and only him that we have been saved. Jesus may not have worn a suit of iron, but he did sacrifice himself for the sake of the world. And he may not have carried a cool shield, But his moral character was unmatched. And he always did what was right. And finally, Jesus may not have had a powerful weapon, but he could walk on water, cast out demons, raise the dead. His may not be the first name that you think of when you talk about the greatest avenger. But I guarantee you that his will be the last name that we will all think of, proclaim, and confess. For Jesus is the one who conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. Jesus is the one who will one day raise us from the dead. Jesus is the one who will welcome us into his kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is the one who will one day, once and for all, destroy all evil. So really, there shouldn't even be a debate. The greatest avenger, the same one who is our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.